I'm Jared Waitley. Here's a snapshot of Thursday, October 22, the day that Patrick Dangerfield described his sense of readiness ahead of his first grand final.
Yeah, absolutely. You ask that and I just smile and think I can't wait for the day to start. I've always been a massive fan of night games. I think there's just something special about everything else being dark and the stadium being lit and the game and the show about to start. And as players, you're a centrepiece to that. And I think there's something so special about it. And that's what this grand final is.
And Dangerfield gave an insight into the camaraderie that's taking place inside the hub between grand final rivals.
I'm having coffee yesterday with Bash Ahuli in the lobby of the Pines. You know, it's just such a different year. So whilst it does, because everyone's been on the road for such a long time and long enough now, it is a different grand final week, that's for sure.
Do you and Basher talk footy or talk anything but footy while you're having coffee?
We're talking fishing, actually.
Yes.
I mean, he's one of the all-time great humans, Basher. People have asked, is it funny living in the same sort of facility as what Richmond are? And the answer is definitely no, because we've been here for so long now in each other's company. And everyone's respectful enough, except the kids who just tear around the place and,
yep,
you know, are now treating it as their own. It's just, it is what it's been. So in 2020, you know, nothing is normal.
Legend of the game, Malcolm Blight, revelled in his memories of two Gary Ablett's.
I don't know if I've told you this story before, but we're having a really in-depth Sunday morning meeting after a game at Cardinia Park when I was coaching there. And, you know, getting into some heavy stuff and reviewing the game on a Sunday, as we did, and Gary Ablett Sr. was obviously in the room. About halfway through this wonderful review that I was doing, the door burst open. There was Gary Ablett Jr. at about 6 or 7 or 8 years of age. Hey, come on, Dad, when are we going home? You know, he forced himself into the door and made his statement in front of 40 players and the coaches and stamped himself as, hey, I'm here. And I guess looking at his career, I know he didn't quite start like that, but when he was forced into it, maybe by a group of players, and I remember the word Stephen King's been mentioned, said something to him in one of those let's talk about it meetings, but he then forced himself onto the competition from then on in. I mean, he knew exactly what he could do. He was at the top of his powers for nearly every game I saw at the Gold Coast, and he's been at the top of his powers for so long, it's unbelievable. He is an absolute, absolute genius.
Our strategy coach, Craig Jennings, set the themes for the grand final.
Yeah, no, the chaos versus control. I came up with that in 2017. I wouldn't mind some royalties, a dollar every time it gets mentioned, or a dollar donated to a Jim Stein Foundation if you use it would be pretty good. But I thought philosophy in that can be a bit hard for people to catch on with. So I thought, with a grand final, it's really important that we keep it simple, Jared. So I've gone with a couple of short words that rhyme. And so I've gone bold versus cold. So I'll start with Richmond, and Richmond are bold. And for me, that's a reference to their theme song and mantra, strong and bold. It's also a nod to Benny Gale's, which I absolutely love, his bold vision of 3 premierships in 10 years. I love when people put things on the table, say that they're going to be great, because then you have to deliver. So I really like that boldness from Benny Gale. It's a connection to their coach, who, you know, he was a courageous player, Dimmer, and as a coach, he's absolutely fearless. So in 2017, if we go back, he dared to be different. He took that emerging chaos game style next level, you know, with his selection choices of going small in the forward line. But, you know, I spoke on Monday the way he's evolved that contested knock-on forward handball game style from the forward 50 to being a full game one. It's also a reference to bold, as in B-O-W-L-E-D, because when Richmond win, we know exactly what they look like. They just steamroll and bowl players and teams over with that bludgeon ball game style. So Richmond are bold, Jared.
And Geelong are cold. How have you defined that?
So the first thing that popped into mind was to reference all the freezing cold days I spent watching footy down at Cardinia Park. But it's a connection to their coach, who You know, I've been speaking about him all years, the most cold and calculating match day coach in the game. It's a hint a little bit to Chris Scott, reminding everyone that Geelong this year are unbeaten at the Gabba, and, you know, they've made it their home ground, really, and they can use that to be cold and inhospitable to the visitors this week. And, you know, really, it's their cool, calm, collected, you know, and Danger used this word just earlier in your interview about being calm and collected, and, you know, they've got that cool, calm, collected response to the scoreboard. You know, they're the best team at changing the look of the game when behind, and they really know how to win from anywhere, and it's a tick to their game style. So, you know, it's a game style that freezes the opposition scoring, and that's whether it be with their controlled time in possession game style or the way they set up to support their defenders. But, you know, I think it's mostly when the cold came to mind, it's that steely ice look in the eyes of Paddy Dangerfield when he's been playing in these finals, Jared.
We rang the trade bell with Sam Edmonds and the latest on Ben Brown.
Let's start with Ben Brown, and this has made news over the last 24 hours, hasn't it? But I can tell you that Melbourne yesterday completed this medical on Ben Brown, Jared, as it now cements pole position to snare the discarded North Melbourne spearhead. Now, we know the Demons signalled their interest in Brown shortly after their campaign finished, but their list management team have ramped up their interest in him in recent weeks. Those talks have progressed, and Brown was yesterday, as I say, examined by D's Medicos. Now, while all signs point to Brown pulling on a Melbourne jumper for 2021, Jared, the key forward, for his part, has not yet told coach Simon Goodwin that he wants to play for his side. He's out of contract, but he's not a free agent, so a trade would need to be done. Now, my understanding is the Kangaroos will ask for Melbourne's second round pick, which is number 23, in any deal for Ben Brown to get across to Melbourne. And we know his form over the course of 2017 to 2019, but he had a wretched 2020 season, of course, didn't he? It's amazing how far he's fallen. 3-year contract on the table at one point from North Melbourne at $850,000 a season. That would have maintained his status as North's highest paid player. A lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, of course, and he's coming back from a knee injury that ended his season after round 10. But his likely arrival, Jared, you mentioned his name earlier, puts renewed doubt on the future of Tom McDonald, the other Demons forward. So the D's are open to trading McDonald. He knows that. But the club are aware that the 2 years remaining on a healthy contract means that he's a realistic chance to stay and commit to a rigorous off-season that would see him lose the weight and regain some mobility that made him that 53-goal forward in 2018. But we can tell you, Jared, that GWS have shown some interest in Tom McDonald. There is some interest there in luring him up to Sydney. Now, the Giants, we know, they were gutted to learn that restricted free agent Jeremy Cameron wants to join Geelong, but they've moved pretty quickly, it seems, to soften the blow of his departure by reaching out to Tommy McDonald.
And Jason Richardson, who is in pure form, gave us his seedings for the Cox Plate.
I am Armory, Russian Camelot, and Probabil to get the absolute run of the race. Believe it or not, if there was a scratching, I think Buckhurst can run in the top three. I think it was a disastrous decision to leave him out. I just can't see a scenario where, as much as I've always loved Master of Wine, I can't see a scenario where Master of Wine got in ahead of Buckhurst, considering Greg Carpenter rated Buckhurst 1.5 kilos superior in a Caulfield Cup, and Buckhurst defeated Master of Wine home, giving him weight, yet somehow they overruled that and put Master of Wine in ahead of Buckhurst. If there is a scratching, he is a legitimate chance in this race, because they'll take the gear off, and thought he actually ran well in the Caulfield Cup because he overdid it a touch, but I'm Armory 12, 11 Russian Camelot, 13 Probabil.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.